Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Bill Jenkins. My wife is Trina. Some of my family's here, Casey and Abby and her husband, and Molly and Libby, and one of my granddaughters is here, my only granddaughter. I got grandsons. Katie is here, and I'm trying to see if there's anyone else in my family that may be here. I don't see them. Okay. Kelly is now back, so she's come back from Mongolia, and she's been very excited. She's glad to be back. I don't know, we haven't talked to her much. She's in debriefing right now, so keep her in prayer, but I do know this. She will give us an update on her trip, and it was a very, very good, successful trip, missions trip in Mongolia, so we're excited to hear from her. If you would, take your Bibles. We're going to continue in our series of Acts, and we're in Acts 15. So I would like for you to, if you have your Bible or if you do it on your phone, however you do it, to go to Acts 15. As you're doing that, I want to read a scripture to you that you need this morning. Someone definitely needs this more than one. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weak, weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you need that this morning, I want you to grab a hold of that scripture. If you're weary, if you've been burdened down, I know life can do a lot of things to us. And a lot of you may be going through some things that you need that. Jesus is here. He says, "I want to lift you up. I want to help you. I want to be your Savior." Acts 15. Trouble in the church. Wow. Imagine that, exactly. Trouble in the church. I'm not going to read all of this. You guys can read this, but I'm going to give you a little summary of some of it and hit the highlights that I need to hit this morning. Basically, what was going on was there was some Jewish believers that were trying to put heavy burdens on the new Gentile believers. And the bottom line was, they said, for you to be a Christian, you have to be circumcised. That's the way it's been with us, and that's the way it's going to be with you. And so that began the problems in the church, the trouble in the church. Because the other believers felt that that was not necessary, and there's a reason why. There's only one way that you can be a Christian. And that's to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No circumcising is going to do that. No rules or regulations are going to get you there. You can give billions of dollars to the church. That's not going to get you there. There's only one way in that relationship, and that's through Jesus Christ and His blood. And we're going to go through some of that. Also, with that going on, we go down to, if you would, to verse 22. Actually, let's go to 24. Here's what the problem was in summary. Paul and Silas went back to the leaders of the church and said, "We got a problem. This needs to be taken care of. How are we going to handle this?" And the apostles began to look at this. And through this whole meeting, which was pretty intense, if you will read that sometime, it's pretty interesting and neat. So they weren't just hugging and loving each other at the time through this. There was a lot of stuff. But then they stood up and said, "This is the things that need to be done." Verse 24, chapter 15, we begin to read. "We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and sent them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. For you will do well to avoid these things. So we had this trouble in church. I wanted to have everybody circumcised, the men to be circumcised, and so forth. And so they come back with this. What does that mean to us today? Food offered to idols, blood, sexual morality. I'm going to share some of these things with you. To understand the importance and what God has done differently in our circumcision, in Romans 2:29, it says, No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So God's telling us, you want your heart circumcised. Get rid of all the stuff in there that doesn't belong there, that's unnecessary. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Pretty obvious. It's not what we do on the outside that matters. It's what happens within our hearts. And with that being said, we have to examine our hearts. And our hearts have to be examined on a daily basis. Because for those of us that have given our hearts to Christ, we still have challenges with the sinful nature, don't we? And that sinful nature keeps wanting to creep in and keep wanting to take over. Paul said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. There's a war going on within. And we constantly battle that. But God is showing us through his word, and today, that battle's been won. He defeated it on the cross of Calvary. And we're going to go on and share some other things with that. But that has to do with the circumcision. Circumcision's in your heart. That's what's important. The other issue that they said was to abstain from sexual immorality. It's a little bit tougher subject to deal on here. We don't like to talk about this. It's all around us. But the Word of God is plain on what it says, what that is, and where we're at with that. To make it real simple in some ways, unmarried, if you're not married, absence. End of story. That's God's plan. If you're married, with your spouse only. End of story. If you need scriptures to back some of that up and to see what that's about, I advise you to look at those who are taking notes. Leviticus 8 gives a whole list of unlawful sexual relations and the consequences. And that's why God wants you to see that. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 20, it says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slandered, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said that two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? For you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Pretty plain, pretty straightforward. That's the Word of God. And if we're going to follow Jesus with all of our hearts, we have to be obedient to that word. Flee from sexual immorality. And guess what, guys? In this world today, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. No matter where you turn, what you look at, it's out there. And it's constantly trying to bombard you and trying to get into your world and get into your mind and get into your heart. I would say there's probably not anyone here that hasn't had a challenge in this area. In fact, when I read all of that stuff, I'm thinking, wow, no one's left out who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So there's no one that can say, "I'm there. I've done all the good things." No one. So we're all in the same boat right now. We're all in the same situation. So if you stay away from this, it'll be well. Your life will be more blessed. I urge you, parents and grandparents, to especially pray for your children and grandchildren, because in today's society, it's so easy to access any sexual immorality. In fact, me and my wife were talking, turn the TV on. It's on commercials, it's on everything. I mean, it's like no matter where it's at, it's there. And they're planting these thoughts into the minds of even the youngest of the youngest. Here's another one that he talked about. Food offered to idols. Where's that play in our world today? When's the last time you ate something that was offered to an idol? I don't know if I have. Maybe your world's different where there's someone that you're involved with that do. Other religions practice some of this stuff. And as those religions continue to come into our country, it gets freer and freer that this to happen. But that's not the only thing that's there. Bible tells you to guard yourself against idol activity. 1 Corinthians 8, go look at it. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. It's a whole chapter of stuff. And it basically tells us to abstain from any food offered to idols. But also it tells us not to be a stumbling block to others in any of these areas. But there's another thing that goes on. It's called idol worship. We have watched, I'm not real happy about it, but we have watched America, was it American Idol? I don't even know the name of it, American Idol. And they have some of the funniest, weirdest, stupidest stuff on there, okay? There is talent on there. There are some people that come out and sing and people that come out and do things. It's very good. But what is the purpose? To become the next American Idol. And it's real easy for me to fall into that. But there's other kinds of idols that we have. What is it in your life that has been an idol to you? Something that you love more than anything else. Something in your own way you worship that you can't do without. I'm going to push a little button here. It may be called addictions. That has just become your idol. That has just become the God in your life. Remember what Paul said earlier? All things are permissible, but I will not allow anything to master me. Well, addictions master us. And there's a whole list of addictions. You just name them, it's there. I'm not going to go through that name. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one that can deliver you from your addictions. That's Jesus Christ. Counseling will help, but there's only one that can deliver you, and that's Jesus Christ. So, what is the idol in your life? It tells us in Colossians 3, 5, and 11, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And once again, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Once again, the Word of God tells us exactly what idolatry is and names those. And what's sad, they could be in our lives. The green monster can be in our life real easy, real quick. Impurity. If you don't have them in your life, you know someone that has it in their life. And I urge you to pray for them, because their only deliverance is going to be Jesus Christ. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Put it to death. If you're having a problem putting these things to death, once again, Jesus can put it to death. He is our Savior. If you're coming to Christ, and you've come to Christ, by the way, these scriptures were written to the church. This was stuff going on in the church with believers at that time. And the Holy Spirit is constantly dealing with us in these areas because He knows it's in the world. And the world wants to grab you and choke you and strangle you with it. Because when it does that, it takes away the things that God wants you to have. That's why God's so adamant about this. He loves us so much. He wants to make sure that we can have everything He has in store for us. And He knows these things keep us from having that. One of the last things that I mentioned was to abstain from blood. There again, when's the last time you drank some blood? But we may not have an issue with that in that aspect. But I want you to know there are religions in the world that is a practice on a daily basis. If you've ever been to another country, which I haven't, I've only heard stories from friends of mine that's been there, that this is a common practice. And I think it's interesting because the Bible tells us to abstain from that. For you guys to look up references, again, I'm not going to go there because it's just too much stuff. You need to read this. It's forbidden to consume. It's all in Leviticus 17, 1 through 10. Check it out. Tells you why. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because life of every creature is in its blood. What happens when we don't have no more blood in us? We're not living no more. What happens when our blood gets contaminated with a disease? We become very sick, even to the point of death. Life is in the blood. John 6, 53, Jesus said unto them, I tell you the truth. This is what's really interesting about what Jesus did here. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. That shocked the disciples of that day because they were forbidden to drink blood. And Jesus just told him, you got to drink my blood. Why? Why did Jesus take it to that level? What was his purpose in that? To go against the law? No, to fulfill it. Hebrews 9, it says in verse 22, God requires everything must be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus came to this earth. He went around, he healed people. He cast out demons in people. He even raised people from the dead. But the greatest thing that Jesus did for us at that point and everybody was he went to the cross of Calvary. Before he got there, they beat him so bad on the back with whips that had metal and glass in it, ripping his back wide open. He's bleeding there. Some people say that most people would not have made it to the cross because of how bad they beat him, to the point of unrecognizing him. Couldn't recognize him. But he goes to the cross. They nail his feet, they nail his hands, and they pierce his head with a crown of thorns, mocking at him to be King of Jews. As he's on that cross, something's happening. Slowly, blood is coming out of his body. Every heartbeat that he has, that blood begins to pour out of every end of him, both hands, both feet, and his head. And he did it for us, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness, that none of us could stand before God. He did it for us, that we could be clean forever. So that when God looks down upon us, you know what he sees? The blood covering you. And he remembers your sin no more. It don't matter what you've done. He remembers your sin no more. It's been covered by the blood. And the thing that caught me this week, there was not 1 ounce of blood left. He gave it all. All that was required in the Old Testament was a sprinkle on the mercy seat from a goat. It was a sprinkle. But Jesus poured it all out to the point that after he gave up his spirit to the Father, a soldier came up and stabbed him in the side to make sure he was dead. And the rest of the blood and water gushed out. There was none left. Jesus gave it all for you and me. All of it. And it pleased the Father that our sins would be forgiven, not only today, but tomorrow. That if you fall into sin, you go to him and confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you. Every time. How many times? Every time. Wow, is it that easy? Then I can sin? No. God set you free that you don't have to sin. He set you free. The blood of Jesus set you free. Because the law kept you in that bondage, that you were in that sinful nature. And then he does some other things. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, the Son, purifies us from all of our sins." There's no other way, guys. No other way. Your knowledge of the Word of God is not going to get you there. It's good, but it's not going to cleanse you. There's only one thing that cleanses you, and that's the blood, because that's the life of God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they took of what tree? The tree of knowledge. If only I can be smarter, I can be like God. I can know good and evil. But the day they took of that fruit, what happened? They died. They died spiritually, and they began to die physically. That wasn't God's plan. But God knew that would happen. So he had a greater plan. And the greater plan was that he was going to come in bodily form as Jesus Christ and give his own blood to cover our sins. That blood does so much even more today because it has life in it. Unless you drink of that blood and eat of his body is the Word of God. The blood is the covenant of the New Testament. Next time you take communion, I pray that you remember that he gave it all. That that little juice that we drink from is a representation of the blood, and that we're drinking it, agreeing, I want all of you, Jesus. I don't want just a little bit of you. I want all of you. Is he not worth your praise and worship? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, Galatians 5. Stand firm. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, slavery of sin. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, but by faith we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. You were running a good race, Paul said. Who cut in on you? Anybody watch the Olympics, the trials and stuff? Do you see when they're running and someone cuts in on them? What happens? Trips them up. They lose momentum. Guess what? That's happened to us. That's happened to the church today in America. Who cut in on us? Who did this stuff? Who kept you from obeying the truth? There are a lot of philosophies going in the church today, and one of them I'm going to speak of that you guys need to be aware of. It is a truth, but it is not a truth from God. It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. That's not God's way. God forgives, but he wants you to be obedient to his word. And so many times, people have used that to get by with what they want to do. Oh, I can just I go out and commit adultery on my wife, or I'm going to go out and beat her, or I'm going to go out and get drunk, or whatever, I'll get forgiveness. It's a dangerous place, and Satan has put that into the church today to cause a problem. Be aware. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. God is not mocked. I know this is a little tough this morning, but I'm telling you, our church is in transition right now. When I say in transition, we're hiring people to come on staff. There's some things that God is putting into place. God is moving. And he's warning us at the same time, be careful. Be careful. Don't get caught up in the world's ways or my blessings can't come in. God's a holy God and he's a jealous God and he wants him to be worshiped. Not the worship team. Not even worship, and they did an excellent job this morning. But they're here to lead us to Jesus. Not no man, not no program, nothing. Only Christ himself is to be worshiped. Here's some other warnings I'm going to finish up with. And then I want to share one more thing with you. For you, my brothers, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring, has this ever happened here at this church? I've been in churches where that's kind of happened. People biting and devouring, nipping, you know, like a little dog coming up to you and nipping on you all the time. Just little stuff. Doesn't matter, but it does matter. Keep on biting, devouring each other. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Is that God's plan, that we destroy each other? No. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature, if you ever wonder what the acts of the sinful nature are that God does not want you to do, here they are. Sexual immorality. Boy, that keeps coming up for some reason, doesn't it? You know why? Because God knows that's a problem. It's a problem in everybody's life, somewhere, somehow. Impurity, debauchery, which I wasn't for sure what debauchery was. I don't use that word every day. It's the satisfying of one desire and appetite in a bad or wild way. I won't go there. I think you guys know what that means. Idolatry, which we talked about before, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. That doesn't go on with our Christians today, does it? Selfish ambitions. We're doing what the Lord wants us to do, aren't we? Beware. Beware. Dissensions. Quarreling is what that is. There's no quarreling going on in the church today, is there? Factions. That's arguing. None of that going on. And envy. No envying happening here. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not my words, guys. That's the word of God. And he's warning us and telling us. If I could say it in my words, fly right. It's time to fly right. God's not playing around. And it's time that we take him a little serious about what he's doing for us. There again, he poured all his blood out on us. But here's the good news. But he gives us his Holy Spirit. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he says, this is the fruit of my Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we have lived by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I think we all could use a little bit of that fruit, don't you think? Each and every day. Isn't it time that we plugged in? Isn't it time we start picking from the right tree? You know what's interesting? God has it available for us every day. The Bible says he renews our benefits every day. I think that's awesome. That gives me hope that I have an opportunity to be who God wants me to be. Let me finish with this. Therefore, you guys, it's God's chosen people and holy and dearly loved. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God has laid it out for us, guys. It is simple if we just follow and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And if we try it any other way, we're going to be miserable. And we're going to be like those dogs nipping and biting at each other. I've noticed this past week, tempers kind of flare up a little easier when it's hot. I don't know how you guys are at your home, but that kind of happens with me. Get a little more irritable. Is that a word? Maybe not. Well, I want to end with this. I want you guys to know. I don't know who here has never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But it is simple. He did everything for you. He died on the cross. He poured out his blood. He took care of all of that for you. Not only did he do that, he was raised from the dead to show that, hey, I'm alive. And when I'm being alive, I'm still active. It's still happening. I'm taking care of business. And we can still go to the throne boldly now because of his blood, because there's power in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is that blood. I'd like for you to bow your heads with me right now. As I read to you first, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burdens light. I want to speak first to those that are believers. With your head bowed, I want you to look into your own heart. Have you lost your way a little ways? Have you allowed some of the sinful nature to creep itself back in? Is there some addictions that's taken over in your life that you want to be delivered from? Jesus is here, and only he can take care of that. We're here to pray for you. We've got to unite in love. And that love comes from Jesus, and it starts with you being set free again. He's here to deliver. I want to speak to those that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've heard the gospel. You're responsible for what you've heard. And I know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart this morning. This is not a religious thing. This is not a ploy to get you to join the church. It has nothing to do with any of that. This is to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you and died for you, and that your sins can be forgiven. That's the good news. That's the good news. Your sins are forgiven. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior this morning and your sins to be forgiven, as we sing this song, whatever the case, and you want to come up and be prayed for, we're opening up the altars this morning for that. If you're sick and you need prayer, that's part of what God does too. This is not what man does, it's what God does. as they sing this song, and you want to come forward, I think it's very important that you need to come forward so that we can pray for you. This is family. These are friends. We're not judging anyone. We're lifting you to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of everybody's faith.